chance at the last shot at the end of regulation, and Tatum missed it. He's got the ball now. 10 seconds left in overtime. Agbaji defends. Brown pushed down by Mitchell. No foul. Tatum's got to go in a hurry. He pulls up. Yes!
What do they say now?
Jason Tatum with the game winner over the Toronto Raptors. That was this weekend. Saturday, right?
I was just thinking we haven't really talked about it.
Yeah, we didn't talk about it at all yesterday as it was a Patriots Monday, and now we've had this Bruins news, or now we have a scoop off, I guess, between Rich Keefe and Tom Cuddy, and we'll keep you apprised on what's going on there. But the Boston Celtics tonight, as the NBA Cup play rolls along, will take on the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they'll be doing it on the heels of their thrilling overtime buzzer beating win over the Toronto Raptors, who aren't very good, but it was, at the very least, even if you didn't love everything about that game, and I'll be honest with you, I mean, I thought that was going to be a much easier time for the Celtics going against those Raptors, who I don't think are particularly strong. Jakob Poeltl went crazy in that
game. Yeah, he did.
That was he was unbelievable. He was like Tim Duncan in that game. He had 35 points on 16 of 19 shooting. R.J. Barrett had a triple-double. Like, this was the Raptors. Here's the thing, and I think you might see this tonight. The Celtics are now entering the target on their back phase, I think. Like, to start year, they were the big, bad Celtics, and they were kind of rolling over everybody with a couple of exceptions. And now that everybody's sort of settled into what the season is, even a bad team like the Raptors, who are 2-12 or whatever they are, they're all these teams now from here on out, they're going to be giving Boston their best game. And I think you're going to be seeing that pretty much on a uniform basis. I don't know that means the Celtics aren't going to blow everybody out. I mean, I still think they're better than a lot of these teams, but that was eye opening to me over the weekend. But on the plus side, and it's a big plus, Jason Tatum hitting a game winner. Don't see that too often.
No.
I mean, you really don't. Like, usually he either misses it or you give it to Jalen Brown or somebody else takes
the
shot.
Well, he missed his first try at the end of regulation.
He did.
He almost missed the backboard. He missed the rim to the left by, like, 3 feet.
He did. But then he hit the game winner.
He did.
So, you know, I mean, and it was against the Raptors, and he may have traveled, which is in the NBA two-minute report came out and said that he traveled, moved his feet a little bit, which I don't care about because Agbaji or somebody decked Jalen Brown.
Yeah, and they admitted that.
In the very beginning. So, I mean, those kind of offset for me, and he had to make the shot anyway, and he made it, and it was a clutch shot, and Jason Tatum is not something that comes supernaturally to him, so I give him props for that. How do you think this is going to go tonight? You seem very bullish on the Celtics, Andy.
So, I am. I think, now, this theory has been devalued a little bit by the loss to the Warriors.
Yes.
But I've always thought for multiple years now, this team circled games on the calendar before the season even started and wanted to prove points, wanted to show people. And I don't know what happened in the Warriors game because that should have been a prove it to the whole damn world and Steve Kerr and everybody else, and they lost that game. I think this is a, oh, everybody seems to think the Cavs are the team to beat in the East now. They're undefeated. I think this is a circle it game. I will be going on my FanDuel app and putting together a nice homer parlay that will include overs on Tatum and Brown. That will include a Celtics win. I think last I saw they were 5.5-point favorite, something like that.
Let me look it up here. The Celtics,
which has come up. I believe it was 4.5. And it's
worked 5.5.
To 5.5-point favorites. So I think a lot of people are still, I don't want to say questioning the Cavs, but wondering, are the Cavs really for real? Like, really, really? Like? You know how you're in elementary school? You like, or you just like her? Are they really real, or are they just kind of a real good team for the East? And I think the Celtics are going to take this as a challenge. I think, you said it, other teams are going to give the Celtics their best, like the Raptors, and that's fine. But if the Celtics bring anything near their best, teams like that, they should take care of.
Yes.
The problem is when they don't. This is not a game where I expect them to show up and have problems with motivation or any of those things. They're going to be swarming defensively, would be my guess. I would expect either Brown or Tatum or both to get off to one of their, this could be a 30-30 night for those two. This could be one of those 30-30 games. But one of them, my guess, will be 6 of 8 shooting in the first quarter for 14 points. And that will be the jump start to a controlled victory.
Okay. I'd like to
Homer
see that, obviously. The only thing that gives me pause is that the last time the Celtics had one of those motivation games was Golden State.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Didn't work.
Can't do it every time.
That
they get paid too, you know.
Of course. And so do the Cavaliers. But I guess that my point is that that was the last time we all said, oh, watch out. You know, here it is. Now they got a real reason. They got something to go out and play for. You know, this is going to be a season where they just smoke everybody and roll over all these teams. But they got that one circled. They're circling Golden State on the calendar. And wait till you see what they got for Steve Kerr. And Kerr and Curry and the Draymond and all of them, they kicked their ass. So they didn't kick their ass, but they beat them. And I think that this is similar to that, you know.
But also remember, what was the early score in that game? Celtics were up 20, 18? They were up early.
We're going by the fact that they had a lead in the game?
Well, it just points that maybe they thought it was too easy. Maybe they thought they were going to cruise. I think they're still weak in that area. I still think that might be their biggest weakness is sort of that.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it's called, but that, you know, killer instinct, and we can get into, does that tie into Tatum and the leader of the team and how he approaches things? But they were up early. They showed up to play. They couldn't keep it up. And then Curry said, no, I'm the real deal, and we're not going away, and we're going to win this game. But you're right. The circle the game theory was very much challenged by that loss to the Warriors. That's reality.
It definitely was. The Celtics' biggest lead was 11.
I thought it was more.
In that game. And they led by 11.
Felt like more.
In the first quarter. And then after, about midway through the seconds when Golden State took it back, the Celtics did lead again in the fourth and gave it back. It was, it was a tough game. What are you going to do? I do think that in general, it's not going to be the Celtics and the Cavaliers. Are not peers, I don't think. I think the Celtics are much more talented than the Cavaliers. Cavaliers are a talented team. And I also think there's something to be said for the fact that they didn't go the route, and we've talked about this, they didn't go the route of the Knicks, they didn't go the route of the Sixers, even the Bucks last year when they traded for Lillard and some of the other moves that got made with these other teams trying to compete with the Celtics or trying to beat the Celtics. They didn't. They said, we're going to run it back with these same guys. There was a poll that went out for all the GMs, and you couldn't vote for yourself, but it was who's going to come out of the East, and there was one vote for Cleveland. And since you can't vote for yourself, I'd imagine that was Brad Stevens. So, that seems like, to me anyway, everybody else picked Boston. That seems to me like some people were ahead of this. I was not. I thought that Cleveland was going to be another good team in the East, but not one that really could rise to the level and compete with the Celtics. I'm still not sure that in a playoff series I would be all that afraid of the Cleveland Cavaliers, even if they were at 100%. I know they weren't last year, but even if they were at 100%, I'd still feel pretty good about the Celtics in a series against this team.
Oh, I absolutely would. I mean, I would pick the Celtics against pretty much every team in a seven-game series. Now, I reserve the right to change my opinion after watching tonight's game because it's, a cup game, big cup game, big NBA cup game. You know how teams get up for this.
Right.
But if there's a team that's going to circle this game, certainly the Celtics could. So will the Cavaliers.
Sure.
Because this is their potential anointment game in the East, right? Like, oh, you're not just beating other teams. You're beating the Celtics. You're beating the front runner. Now, the text line did point out the Jaylen Brown thing, but
Jaylen Brown didn't play in the Golden State game. That's true. I forgot about that. But either way.
But they were winning games without Jaylen Brown. They were doing. We were giving them credit. But yes, that's absolutely a factor because we would say the opposite if it was another team you were facing, right? If the Celtics had beat Golden State without Curry, we'd say they didn't have Curry. So the Warriors beat the Celtics without Jaylen Brown. You know, the most important player on the team based on recent trophies given out for important series.
Yes. Celtics and the Cavaliers may be a rivalry this year because the Celtics don't really have another rival. Not in the Eastern Conference, I don't think. After Cleveland and Boston, the next team in Milwaukee sucks.
Yeah, but they're starting to win some games.
Milwaukee's 5-9 right now, and I believe, let me see, I don't know if this is still the case. Yeah, they're outside of the top 10, so they wouldn't even make the play-in tournament right
season.
Now if the season were to end right now. I know it is, Andy, but I'm saying they suck. The Sixers are 2-11. Like, I don't think they're going to be 2-11 all year either. But they're having all sorts of problems.
Maxie's calling out Joel Embiid.
Now they're infighting. They're done.
Yeah.
They're Toto.
Not a
mas.
Not a good situation there in Philadelphia. My heart bleeds for those fine people, by the way. And Milwaukee, I don't think, is going to be this bad all year either. But right now, I mean, they're off to a terrible start. So in terms of rivals, in the Eastern Conference anyway, it goes Cavs, Celtics, Orlando at 9-6, and then the Knicks, who you crushed in that opener, are 8-6, and after that, everybody's under 500. The East blows. Like, the East right now sucks, and it's really just the Celtics, the Cavs, and everybody else. And over in the West, it's a little bit better. You got more teams with, like, 9 or 10 wins, teams over 500. You don't have almost an entire conference under 500 like you do in the East. But, the Celtics, as good as they look, I'm starting to wonder if maybe they're just feeding on a weak Eastern Conference at this point.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's very good. Now, we could change this when people get healthy and start hitting their stride, whatever. Right. They're still talented teams that aren't winning. I hesitate to ask you this, given our fight on what a winner and a loser is.
Okay.
What do you consider a rival? Like, is it just a good team? Because for me, a rivalry has to have more than just two good teams. There has to be an added layer of theater.
It's sort of tongue-in-cheek when I say that, but like rival, what I consider a rival is a team that you go back and forth with, right? Like, and they haven't really gone back and forth with Cleveland, so right. That's why it's sort of tongue-in-cheek. Cleveland's 15-0, so they're the team ahead of you, and I consider that a rivalry just because everyone thought the Celtics would be 15-0 and that they'd be leading the East and all of that. So Cleveland's where you want to be right now, technically, in the standings. That makes them the rival. It's the closest I can think of. Okay. I mean, there's nobody really else that I would put up there. Golden State, I guess, is a rival, but
see, that's a rival to me.
It is,
or
but
even
it was from 2 years
ago. What about
ago.
Miami?
Miami and the Bucks, I think, are both kind of rivals because to me, a rivalry has like the Giannis thing with Jaylen Brown.
Yeah,
has another layer of something.
And
energy.
The Heat have beaten them in the playoffs several times. I don't know if I still consider them. I don't know if I still consider them to be on that level.
Well, that's why my dream, right, from this perspective, is the Giannis trades and he goes to Miami. Because you put Jimmy Butler and Giannis on the Heat, there's your rival. The culture, the whole damn thing. I can hate them. I can hate them easily. I can muster up plenty of energy to root against them and boo them. So that would be my dream if you want a true rival.
Let me tell you this. Cleveland beats Boston tonight. They're rivals. All right? I know it's not a playoff series or anything like that, but if you come into Boston... And the game's in Boston, going to be on that ugly green floor. You come into Boston with that NBA Cup fluorescent day glow green court, and they beat the Celtics. You know, it's that to me will cement it. There's your rivals right there: Boston Celtics, Cleveland Cavaliers. Like it's 2013 all over again, or 2017 all over again, or 2008 all over again, or end of the Larry Bird era when they were losing in the playoffs to those Mark Price, Hot Rod Williams, Brad Doherty teams, even all the way back
to that.
That
was a long time ago.
Craig Elo and those guys. Like, yeah, listen, I mean, Cleveland, it's not Celtics-Lakers or anything like that, but they've had some battles over the years, and certainly in the LeBron era and beyond. So I'm fine with that. I'm fine with the Celtics and the Cavs being the rivals in the Eastern Conference this year. And they're not necessarily there yet. I know I'm jumping the gun just because I'm desperate for this team to have some kind of competition. But I'm expecting a good game tonight. I'm expecting this to be a fun one. And I'd be surprised if either one of these teams really ran away with it. You're expecting Boston to run away with it.
I don't know about, like... I think,
you just said you're making a bunch of homer parlays.
Double digits in play.
Okay.
I think a 10 or a 12-point win, a controlled game, is very much in play. Now, I will tell you that Cheap Andy, part of the reason he may do a risque parlay is because I believe it's a no-risque parlay if I get it over plus 400 with my friends at FanDuel.
Mm-hmm. FanDuel, they got all those no-sweat bets. Yeah,
damn right, and that's what I'm going to do.
No-sweat same-game parlays.
Go in with my guys, Tatum and Brown and the Celtics, and then if I win it, I'm obviously very happy. If I lose it, there was no sweat.
If you lose it, hope is here. GamblingHelplineMA.org or call 800.